Welcome to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Let us listen for the word of God that comes to us from the scripture. After this, and after he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, tied that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sent Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the ground. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered them, 'If I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We are sitting this morning on marble benches, beautiful carved marble benches at the university in Athens. And we are waiting for our teacher, Plato, to come speak the deep truths of human nature at the first, perhaps the first university ever to be created. And as Plato comes in, he begins to teach through his novel technique of using dialogues. He creates a dialogue between a teacher and a student. And today's lesson is a parable or an analogy, the analogy of the cave. And the cave is a story that brings one of the deep truths of human nature to light. Plato stands in front of the students and he says, "There is a cave. And inside the cave, prisoners are chained. Chains of their own making as they face a wall. And behind them is a path. And on that path, all of the people of the town walk, and animals carrying burdens and people carrying their goods to market. And behind the people is a giant fire, and the fire casts light on the parade of people, casting shadows on the wall in front of the prisoners. And everything the prisoners see, every piece of the world that they encounter comes to them as shadows on the wall. And one day, one of the prisoners breaks free, and he leaves the cave, and he is blinded by the sunlight. And he crawls forward on his hands and knees into the day, and he is dazzled in every sense of the word by what he sees. It takes him weeks to comprehend that the world, the real world, is so much bigger and better than anything he had ever imagined. And he is excited to tell the people that he had spent his time with, the prisoners, to come and see this incredible world. And as he came up to them and told them the truth, the reality, they refused to believe. They were much more comfortable than with their chains than anything this man could be telling them. And they finally said, go away. And if you don't go away, we will kill you. And so he left. That story, the analogy of Plato's cave, told, performed 2,500 years ago, 400 years before Christ. If you Google search that today, you will find millions of commentaries. If you YouTube search that story, you will find 32,600 videos of how people have created that story into a video. Whether it's the power of the truth that Plato released or the gift of the storyteller, perhaps both, that powerful truth is still transforming the world. And you may all be saying, great, Eric, interesting. But what in the world does that have to do with Palm Sunday? We came here to wave palms. What are you talking about? And I have an answer for you. It has everything to do with Palm Sunday. But to get to that answer, I'm going to have to do what Plato did or what Jesus did. I'm going to have to tell you a story. Zechariah was a priest, one of thousands of priests who had the responsibility of serving at the temple. But there were far too many priests for weekends to serve at the temple. So they would pick lots. And in his old age, finally, Zechariah's name came up. And it was his duty, his responsibility to pray for his people. He was the only one allowed into the inner sanctum, the holiest of holies, the center of the temple. And literally, he was the only one. See, the Jewish people were quite certain that if anybody but the chosen priest went in, they would die. So they tied a rope around his leg. And he entered the inner sanctum on his knees. And if by some chance God would strike him dead, then the people could pull him out with the rope and they wouldn't have to go in and risk their own lives. So in this place of peace, where Zechariah knew he would be the only person, down on his knees before his Lord, he is praying for his people. But he's also praying for himself. He says, Lord, I am an old man. And my wife, you know she's getting on in years. Lord, we don't have a child. Who is going to carry on the priesthood of this family? Please, Lord, I beg you. And he doesn't have much hope that this prayer will come true because he's been praying it for a very long time. But today he's in the temple, and perhaps, just perhaps, and he stands up and he turns and he bumps into somebody. And you can imagine Zechariah just about needed that rope to pull him out. He almost died on the spot. And the angel said, Zechariah, peace be with you. Your prayer has been answered. In 1 year, you will return here today with a babe in arms. And the prophecy was true. A year later, Zechariah comes to the temple with his baby John, who we now know as John the Baptist. And he lifts John up, the firstborn, in the tradition that has been taking place for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and offers his firstborn to his Lord and says, thank you. And as he is about to speak, the Holy Spirit fills him. And instead of a prayer of thanks, out comes prophecy. And I invite you to read the closing words of that prophecy with me. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that man, that Messiah, that God came to guide us into the way of peace. And Jesus came announcing his own prophecy, how he fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. And to his people in his town of Nazareth, he proclaimed, "I have been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, and proclaim release to the captives." And then he proceeded to do exactly that. He literally opened the eyes of the blind, healed people who physically couldn't see, but he also figuratively opened the eyes of the blind. I offer one of those stories to you, that day in Capernaum when the centurion who was responsible for the entire 100 soldier battalion and all of the support people, his favorite slave was very sick, dying. And he sent word to Jesus. "Jesus, I don't want to bother you, for I am not worthy to have you in my home, but just say the word. Just say the word, and I know my slave will be healed, because I am a soldier who is under authority, and oh, I know all about authority. I'm under the authority of emperors and kings, and I have authority over hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And in you, sir, I see authority. Just say the word, because you have the authority of God, and my servant, my slave, my friend will be healed." And he was. Jesus opened the eyes of the people who had faith in him. And then there were his own disciples. He healed them as well. He healed them from their chains. See, he healed people who were physically bound in chains, people whose bodies didn't work. But he also healed people who were in chains of their own making. There was Matthew, the tax collector, a Jewish man who was considered a traitor by his own people. See, he sold himself out. He sold his people out to collect taxes, oppressive taxes, for the conquering Romans. And he got rich in the process. He put money and wealth ahead of his people and his God. And Jesus called to him and said, "Follow me, Matthew. I will release you from the chains that bind you. I will reconnect you with your people and with your God." And Matthew left it all behind and followed Jesus. And there was Simon. Luke tells us his name was Simon the Zealot. Not a really positive name to have, because it translates to Simon the Terrorist. A Jewish man who was zealous for his people. So zealous that he was part of this group that would slide through the crowds and stab Romans in the midst of the crowds so the crowds would cover them up as they slipped away. Jesus said, "Simon, I come to teach you a new way. I come to release you from the chains that bind you, from the chains that say war is the only answer. I come to lead you in the way of peace." And Simon left everything behind and followed Jesus. And upon his disciples, which included Simon and Matthew, Jesus built his church. And then Jesus also fulfilled the prophecy of the Holy Spirit through Zechariah. As he was leaving Capernaum, fixing his eyes on the cross, fixing his eyes on Jerusalem, this pilgrimage that he would take for the last time, he sends out 72 disciples before him and tells them, "I am sending you like lambs into the wilderness surrounded by wolves, but do not fear. Simply go. Take nothing with you. Take no bag, no purse. Don't even take extra pair of sandals. Just go. And in every town you come to, pray peace upon the town. Pray peace upon the homes you are about to enter. And if people of peace are there, your peace will rest upon them. And if there aren't people of peace there, your peace will return to you." And I believe that that is exactly what was happening as Jesus approached Jerusalem. In the scripture we hear today, not approaching as a king from the world's perspective, not on a fine war horse, a stallion surrounded by marching soldiers. No, but a king of peace, a king riding a donkey, surrounded by an army of the poor, who have nothing but the coats that they're wearing and those they lay before their king, shouting, Hosanna! Peace in the heavens! Peace! Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. But Jesus, who prays peace, who came to teach us the ways of peace, has to be praying peace upon Jerusalem because that's what he taught his disciples to do. And as he prays that peace upon Jerusalem, he feels it returning to him. And he weeps, Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known the things that make for peace. But you did not. And you did not recognize your time, the time of your visitation from God. And you will be destroyed because you could not see. And as with everything else that Jesus said, those words came true. Jesus is here today, validating the incredible truth of human nature that Plato discovered 400 years before Jesus, that we bind ourselves in chains of our own making, chains that are called me first. It's all about me. It's all about my people, the people that are just like me. It's all about my skin color. It's all about my country. And too bad for everybody else. See, those are the ways of war. Those are the ways of war in our family, in our houses. Those are the ways of war at work. Those are the ways of war in our churches. And those are certainly the ways of war in the world. But Jesus came to teach us the things that make for peace. And the things that make for peace are be free from your need to gossip. Be free from your pride. Be free from your selfishness. Be free from your need for status. Be free from your need to judge, to hate. Be free and follow me. But Jesus won't make us follow him. Jesus won't take those chains off of us unless we ask him to, unless we get down on our knees. You see, we cannot enter the kingdom of God on a horse. The only way to enter the kingdom of God is on our knees, saying, Jesus, please transform me. Jesus, I give you permission to transform me and change me, even if it means changing the way I think. Jesus, transform me so I can see the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of the world is casting shadows while the kingdom of God is all around us. And we can only see the kingdom of God as shadows on the wall because of the chains we use to bind us. But if we give Jesus permission, if we come to him on our knees and follow the one who is riding a donkey, oh, then we will begin to see. We were sent a prophet in the middle of last century, a prophet who had a different skin color than the dominant skin color, a prophet that came preaching words of peace, a prophet who came and said, follow the way of Jesus. And in 1967, he wrote this book. And in this book, he offers these words. Some years ago, a famous novelist died. Among his papers was found a list of suggested plots for future stories. The most prominently underscored being this one. A widely separated family inherits a house in which they have to live together. Oh, that's a great story. I could write that one. But it's true. This great new problem of mankind, Martin Luther King Jr. says. We have inherited a large house, a great world house in which we have to live together, black and white, Easterner and Westerner, Gentile and Jew, Catholic and Protestant, Muslim and Hindu, a family unduly separated in ideas, culture, and interest, who, because we can never again live apart, must learn somehow to live with each other in peace. That somehow is the way of Jesus. that somehow is the invitation to each of us to humbly get down on our knees and say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Even if it means changing everything, Jesus, I give my life to you. Teach me, release my chains. And if we will do that, Jesus can do anything, absolutely anything, with us and through us. One of the greatest promises that Jesus offers is the things I have done are only the beginning. You will do much greater things than these because you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is true. If we will proclaim not belief in Jesus, but faith in Jesus, because Jesus really doesn't want us to believe in him. Jesus wants us to follow him. And if we will follow him, if we will become part of that army of the poor who are walking with him into Jerusalem, we too can shout the words that are on the screen behind me. And I invite you to say them with me. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace on earth as it is in heaven. And glory to God. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.